Have you ever thought about that while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb? I did. I actually bought two homes in Albuquerque that I Airbnb'd, and it was just an amazing investment, honestly, because, you know, as you are accruing value in your property, you are also making money on the Airbnbs. It's amazing. So your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have. It's an award-winning tequila. It's infused with real juice, with real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. It's real. So you need like two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail. Hey, you know how I'm always trying to keep my house parties exciting? New cocktails? Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's something that's going to flip the script.
Okay.
All right, 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Yeah. Tell me more about this, right? Oliver Hudson.
Yeah, 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila that's infused with juice from real fruits. You only need two to three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
Wait a minute. I think I know what brand you're talking about. You know why?
Yeah.
Because 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend. It's female founded.
That's right.
See?
Sounds
See
like
how I know? Something I can get behind.
I know. Well, there's a good story behind that for sure. Listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling revelry.
No, no.
Sibling revelry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good.
It was very interesting to have this next family that we spoke to on the phone because they are on the other end of the horrors of this virus. And at the very beginning, as many people know, Nick Cordero passed away from complications of coronavirus, of COVID-19. And we got to speak with Amanda Klutz and her sister and brother about not only that time and how devastating it all was, but the importance of the family and the family coming together. And
the silver linings of it, too. I mean, Amanda seemed to be a big silver lining girl, which was interesting. You know, all of the things, all of the positives.
Yeah, she really...
She was.
It's sort of, that's where she puts her faith into knowing that she, it feels like that she, moving forward, how she deals with the grief is to try to really find the silver lining.
Yeah, and you know, connecting it to siblings.
Yeah.
Her greatest silver lining was that she got to reconnect, be with her siblings, live under the same roof, and
her family, the closeness that they always had, really, even though they were all, you know, they get into all this, but they were always super solid and had each other's back forever. You know, this is a healthy, happy sibling relationship. There's five of them all together. And then it really did highlight the importance of siblings when one person is suffering a tragedy, like a loss of a partner, a husband, the father of her child, and how they pick up, you know, and her brother especially, sort of coming in and being a dad himself, really taking on that sort of really supportive role, male role, and wanting to be there for his sister. I got off of the episode and I just cried because I think that the human spirit is so It's so strong. It's so resilient. And this family is such a wonderful symbol of that, that we can have the most devastating, tragic things happen, and then we can heal, or we can at least attempt to look at something positive moving forward and move forward with love and grace. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that's what she
And her
does.
Faith played a big part in that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, she has a lot of faith. And that's a powerful, powerful thing. Whatever you're believing in doesn't matter. Just the faith. Faith that there is something bigger, you know, that there is something out there, something that you can connect to that's going to bring you peace.
Yeah.
Just give me something to believe in.
Oh, wow. What a call in, Nolly. What is that song? Give me something to believe in.
Give me something to believe in. Yeah.
Is it like Warrant?
No, it's not Warrant. It's not Bon Jovi. It is, give me something to believe in. Is it Whitesnake or Motley Crue?
I mean, one of them will work for me, you know? We need to just get to the chorus.
I know, we will. It's still good.
Too long.
No, people are loving this right now. I guarantee they're like...
They're not.
100%, Kate.
They just want us to get to the chorus. Ollie, the people just want to hear you sing. Go!
What I done.
See?
I forgot. I only know the chorus. Give me something to believe in.
Give me something to believe in.
No, it's great.
Let's go. Okay, so yeah. So this episode was absolutely beautiful. I loved it. I'm so grateful for them coming on and sharing their story with us, their family, and also opening up about her loss and Elvis's loss. And
also getting a perspective from the only boy, you know, with
four sisters.
That's big
I know.
Time.
I said to them, I'm like, you're like Derek Huff. It's like the Huff.
That's right.
They're totally mirrored, you know. Anyway, please, everybody, enjoy. This is Anna Todd and Amanda Kloots.
Hi.
Hi.
It's nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too.
I think I just want to start by saying I'm sorry about your year. I mean, it's just, this has been, you know, devastating for so many people, and you're like, you've given so much to so many, but I'm just so sorry.
Thank you.
We usually start like, okay, well, let's start from the beginning, but I think maybe it would be nice to kind of start from where we are now and sort of move backwards. Where is everybody now? And I know that you two, are you living with your sister?
I came home for Thanksgiving and to stay and be with her through the holidays. But I live in Paris, but I left Paris the day before Thanksgiving. I didn't tell Amanda when I was coming and then got here the day before and snuck into the house. Uh-huh. Was getting a mani-pedi. So I snuck in with the help of her neighbors and like answered the door holding Elvis, like wearing her clothes, because I shower and just immediately put on her clothes, and she opened the door and was like, wait, what? Like, I'm looking at me. What's happening? Who are you? How did you get here?
That's amazing.
So I'm going to go back to Paris in the middle of January. I have to renew my visa, so I have to leave. But I told Mandy, I'm going to just like come for months at a time throughout the year, especially once, you know, it's possible.
She's not
going to. Well, it's not the easiest. I can just come and go as I please.
I know, but your life in Paris, you're not going to come to Laurel Canyon.
I am. It's my other home where I, you know,
we'll
it
see,
is.
Guys. We'll see how.
Yeah, well, I'm very suspicious considering all the hating on LA you do.
I do not like it here. I have moved my entire life for 6 weeks.
You guys, the other day I was talking to Anna and she was like, oh my gosh, like, I just don't think I can go back to LA. I mean, all the tie-dye. I'm like, what? I'm like, you spent the summer in tie-dye. What are you talking about?
I was like, that's what happens to me when I'm there. I turn into this like tie-dyed creature in Paris. I'm chic.
Now you're going back to Paris. You're in San Francisco. And Amanda, you're in LA.
I'm in LA, yeah.
You just got a great job.
I got a great job.
Are you excited?
I'm so excited. I can't believe it happened.
Congratulations on that. That'll be so awesome.
It'll be very fun. I've never had a it's not 9 to 5, but every day I have to like go to work in the morning. I've never had that. So it'll be very strange, but great.
For anyone who doesn't know, Amanda's going to be doing the talk.
When do you start the talk?
January 4th. So these are my last couple weeks of,
not freedom.
I think, you know, in the times I've co-hosted, you know, it's a early morning hair and makeup and then, you know, dressing, and then you have to learn all the information. And I mean, it's such a blast. And then you drive, I'm so close to the CBS Radford lot. So I just drive right over there and it'll be really fun. I'm done by like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So it honestly is, it's such a blessing to be a mom and to have this job, because I get to spend the rest of the day with Elvis. And by the time I get back, he'll be waking up from his nap and then we'll have the rest of the day together. I feel so lucky, guys. Like I really
do. That's great. Well, we can become best friends because I'm working on the Radford lot as well.
That's true. Amanda and I, Oliver, she sent over a picture of me and Zach and her, and we were on Watch What Happens Live with Andy, and Amanda was in her, you know, showgirl outfit behind the bar while we were doing press. I think you're doing press for Wish I Was Here.
Yes.
And you and Nick and Zach were all doing Bullets Over Broadway.
Yeah. And then here's another weird 6 degree of separation. Nick and I were neighbors with your Uncle Mark in New York.
My God.
And Mark and Nick played music together a couple of times at the Triad on 72nd. And Nick and Mark would talk a lot about music, and Nick was always trying to like get him to like, I mean, it was like his goal in life to sit down with Mark and like talk music, and you know, it just like busy life and everything. And then I got pregnant, and then we moved a couple blocks over, but yeah, we saw Mark all the time in the neighborhood.
That's so crazy. Well, the theme music for this show, that is Uncle Mark who did
I heard that when I was listening to the podcast.
So I know that like you've talked a lot about Nick's passing, but I do want to know kind of during that time you were talking so openly about everything, and was reaching out and talking about it through social media something that was comforting to you? Was it something you felt like you had a responsibility to?
Well, in the beginning, I opened up about it because, you know, I have this fitness business and I'm was very present every day on social media. And my husband had been like on the couch for a week and then now was in the ICU. And I thought to myself, like, I can't like live a double life and lie and like be on social media every day being like, okay, let's do our 20-minute workout knowing that my husband's in the ICU. So I felt like I can't lie about what's happening in my life right now. But then I also more importantly just thought, if there's anyone else in the world that is just tired and laying on the couch, they might not know that they have COVID, because at the time the symptoms on the news were cough, fever, you know, loss of taste, loss of smell. Nothing was about being tired. And Nick, that was his only symptom. I was tired, exhausted. And so I just thought like, people have to know that this is a symptom and like that now he's in the ICU because he was tired. And then it kept just spiraling. It just kept getting worse and worse. And I just kind of felt like I have to keep being honest about what's going on because the world is being affected by this pandemic right now. And it would not be okay to just stop this story now and not keep people aware of he's 41 years old. He has no pre-existing health conditions. And this is happening to him. This is not just something that affects old people. Like this is happening and people need to be aware of it. And so it just kept going, you know, just kept going. Well,
what was the progression? Like he was exhausted and tired and then all of a sudden, boom, or was there a slower progression?
No, he was exhausted and tired for a week. And then And then he started having some breathing issues. And then when he was so lethargic that it took him a half hour to get from a bedroom to a kitchen that is a small cabin, you know, not in a huge home. This was like a small cabin we were living in at the time. And it took him a half hour to get there. And he could barely breathe when he got there. And I was like, we're going to the emergency room. And still at that time, he could smell, he could taste. He didn't really even have a cough. And when he got there, he had double pneumonia and two negative COVID tests until the third positive test.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
You know, so many people, especially young people our age, when this was happening, it was sort of like, you know, following Nick and you, it was really, you know, sort of really brought it, I think, to the forefront that how deadly and scary this is. And I know you had your family and then you had kind of everyone was really, you know, rooting for you guys and for everything and praying for you. And did you find comfort in that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I couldn't have gotten through everything. Well, first of all, you know, like Todd and Anna became like surrogate parents to Elvis so that I had the ability to do everything that I had to do during that time. But the social media comfort was insane, guys. I mean, like I'd hear from the nurses or the doctors what Nick needed. And I would get on social media and say, guys, you know, they can't get the carbon dioxide out of his lungs. What do we do? And I mean, I'm not kidding. Within 10 minutes, I had like papers of names, doctors all over the country, treatments, machines. Mm-hmm. And I just would like call checklist, scratch off, call checklist, scratch off. And then I'd present it to the doctors and like the doctor would be like, where are you getting this information? And I'd be like, Instagram. Like, it was like, wow. Yeah. It was like this community of people that couldn't wait to help. I mean, it was insane.
And started like meal trains, started like, yeah. We were fed like every day for like a month. And like something you think like, I don't need dinner, it's okay. But then dinner arrives and you're like, oh my God, thank God. I don't have to cook something and destroy the kitchen that is now finally clean. And like, I don't have to worry about getting groceries. Like the way that the internet, that Instagram and that community like started to take care of our entire family was absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
How old is Elvis?
He's 18 months. But he was, when Nick got sick, it was March. So I think he was only 8 months, right? Mm-hmm. 10 months. Yeah.
Man, aww. On top of that, I think this is unimaginable to a lot of people, you know? And there was so much positivity coming out of your feed. And I followed you guys religiously, followed the progress. And I just, the positivity was there, but were there just moments of, I just can't do this anymore. You know, I have to put on a brave face. I have to do this. I have to do that. Did you ever feel like you ever got yourself in too deep with social media? Meaning like, shit, I don't want to post anymore. I don't want to do this anymore.
I see what you mean, Oliver, but to be honest, I mean, yes, there were definitely days where I was like, you know, in bed in tears, and Todd had taken Elvis for me so that I could like get a 3-hour nap, and it would be almost 3 o'clock. And I would be like, oh my gosh, I have to go on live right now and sing. And I've done this to myself. And then I would just do it. And if, you know, sometimes I'd put sunglasses on and a hat and just like, not even sing, just be like, you know, doing whatever I could do. But innately, every time I did that 3 minutes and 22 seconds, that song was over. And even if I got off right there, I was instantly in a better mood. I instantly had more energy. I felt like I had 20,000 people now behind me being like, you can do this. You can do this. Come on. We're praying for you. We got you. And instead of laying in bed and crying more, I then 3 minutes later had energy, had like positivity behind me. And I was like, that's right. I can fucking do this. Like, get up, like, come on. And I was singing Live Your Life. So a lot of times I didn't go back into bed and cry. Mm.
everybody, you know, handles grief differently, but how much has religion played a part and faith played a part in this experience and this moment in your life?
Yeah, for me, huge. I mean, I in times of trouble for me, I mean, I pray every day and I am a very faith-based person, but, when things get really bad for me and for my life, I'm just talking for myself, not for you guys especially, but, I dive deep down. I really like dive deep down and I really put like every part of me into believing that, you know, and praying and, you know, his will is done and all of the things that I really, truly do believe. It gives me great comfort. And I find a lot of peace from it. And it just, it helps me so much. So, so much.
Did you guys all grow up religious?
Oh yeah. Church was like, you weren't missing church for any excuse or reason ever. All the klutzes were in a row. Hair. Sunday morning was like, get up. You got to get your hair. It was chaos. Yeah. You got to get your hair done. You got to get your outfit on. And we went to church in outfits, French braids, clothes, shoes.
And there's five.
And dad was our Sunday school teacher.
Oh, wow.
Five siblings. And what is the order?
Todd's the oldest. Okay. Then we have a sister in Texas who's the next oldest. And we have a sister who was living in New York, but now lives in Ohio with our parents. And then Amanda and then me.
Oh my gosh, Todd, you're the only boy.
Yeah.
You're like Derek Huff.
Todd, you're like Derek Huff. Hard that I would be a boy, but I was not. I turned out to be a girl.
Yeah, when we found out that my mom was pregnant with Anna, I was like, maybe it's the brother that I've always wanted.
Sorry, baby. Uh-oh.
Where did you grow up?
Grew up Canton. In Ohio, Canton, Ohio.
Ohio. I went down to Ohio.
Yeah. Home of the Football Hall of Fame. If you got,
that's
you guys
right.
Football, don't
you? Oh yeah. Big time.
Yeah, you're football fans. Yeah, we're like five Canton. Minutes from the Football Hall of Fame.
Todd, you're number one. What's the age difference from you to Anna?
14.
Yeah, between me and Anna, it's 14 years.
Okay, so you're closest to
Tracy, my oldest sister. Tracy and I think are 18 months apart.
I was definitely the accidental last child. I was not.
Oh, mm-hmm. For sure. In mm-hmm. fact, we were at a wedding in Texas, and I was in my parents' room, and the other sisters were in the adjacent hotel room. And I woke up to my parents arguing over whether or not my mom was actually pregnant with Anna. And my mom's like, Fred, I've been pregnant. I know that I'm pregnant again. And my dad's like, you're not pregnant. Don't worry about it. It's not. And then sure enough, along comes Anna. Then when we found out, like, I remember the four of us were so excited that we were going to have a little sister. And especially when Anna was born, she was like the star of the show. We were all old enough that we were all so excited to like take care of Anna and all focus was on her.
Well, is this why she lives in Paris? I mean, it's like, she's like, I'm going to go to Paris, you guys. It's like, I've had all the love that I need. I'm going to Paris.
This last night, I have a different, we're all so similar, but then there is definitely something that makes you a bit different. I think when you grow up, I grew up a little bit differently than everybody because there was this huge gap. Then there was a huge gap, but I was essentially an only child with my mom and dad because everybody else was off at college or like living a full adult life. And I grew up as an only child with my parents for 7 months. So
years.
So I'm closer to my mom and dad in a way because I had this like alone time with them. And for so long, like everyone went from like loving me, I was like their live baby doll, to them like not liking me at all because I was their annoying like 9-year-old sister. And no one basically talked to me at all between the ages of like 9 until I was like 18. And then they were like, you're cool. Okay, you can be one of us now. So it was a different growing up.
Isn't it so funny how that happens? How, you know, it's just, it goes from one thing to the next, especially with five kids, being the youngest. having your family all around you. And then 1 minute, everyone's fucking gone. And you're like, oh shit. Oh, okay. What was the household like? What was it like growing up in the family? Was there a lot of music around? Was it fun? Was it strict? I mean, just what's the overall feel?
I'd say probably chaos.
Right.
Because like it was like five kids at the high point when I was in high school. And I remember like the days where like one or all of us were fighting with each other. My mom would call my dad at work and we were all then like fearing my dad to come home to be given this bad report on our behavior, who had been fighting with who. But we were definitely music oriented. Like we were all in either band or choir or both. And then we all went to this creative arts middle school. So definitely like arts focused household for sure.
If you weren't religious, meaning if you were like, okay, I'm going to Sunday school, I'm following, you know, what parents want me to do, right? As you get older and time to make your own choices, was that an acceptable thing for your parents? Yeah. If you said, I don't want to follow that path.
They never, we were talking about this last night too. They never pushed us in any direction. They never even were like, you better get good grades. Like they didn't, you know what I mean? Like they let us do our own thing. But then also like if Todd was in band, Tracy was in band, and then Allie was in band, and then I was in band. And then Anna got away with not being in band because 7 years later. But like it was like
not joining the band.
Your brother did it, so then Tracy did it, and then you do it, and then you do it. But it was never like you have to do this.
It was more like this is the things we do.
Yeah.
And like,
but then also because Todd like was in band, we would all on Fridays go to the football game and cheer Todd on. And so then if you wanted to be in band and you're like, well, I can't wait till I'm in band. And then we all go to band.
Right. And then Anna's like, you go to band, Anna's I'm like, going to pole vault. I was like,
au revoir. We need to go me, by the way, starting the nerdiest trend for us to follow in.
Yeah, Todd's like leading the way in band. It's kind of like... Yeah.
Coors Light.
Let's Coors Light.
I think we should do this ad, like we're in the Crown.
Yes.
You know,
in the Crown.
Like the Crown.
Remember, but my British accent has never been good when we tried to do this before.
It's more clipped. So if we're going to do this, it's going to be like
Coors Light.
If you were like Olivia Colman as the Queen, and you
okay,
say,
"I don't know who I am," but. What I do know is that I traveled to the US and had a Coors Light.
Oh.
And it was fantastic.
Mm. Yes. Mm. Yes.
It was very interesting, actually. They had these iconic mountains. And apparently, when they turned blue, you drink. Mm.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Made blue. To chill, they say.
Oh, that's interesting. Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
So, the mountains, they turn blue.
Yes, they turned blue.
Interesting. Mm, yes.
Yes, a nice shade of blue.
Oh.
It's refreshing and it's chilly down to my nitty gritty.
Is it as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies?
The Colorado Rockies, I flew over them when I was in my airplane. And I couldn't help but think, oh my God, Golden, Colorado, that's the home of Coors Light.
Oh, that's interesting. Oliver.
So I ordered one on the plane.
Curious. I'm so curious yes. as to what it tastes like.
Well, let me say, when I need to unwind, I have a Coors Light. It's refreshing and it's crisp.
See. Yes.
And it's cold.
Yes.
And it's just beautiful. To the tongue.
Oh, wonderful.
And yes. It goes down the gullet.
Ah,
and
lovely.
When it enters your stomach, you just feel better in life.
Oh, that's
just
lovely.
Generally.
Lovely. Thank you for sharing. That's wonderful.
You're welcome. So, you need to have one.
I would love to.
Coors Light is one that I choose when I need to unwind, right? So when you want to hit reset,
Reach for the beer that's made to chill. So you get Coors Light in a new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Each and every. I love this deodorant. I have to say, I'm a natural deodorant person. Anybody who is a natural deodorant person always has to apologize for their smell at 100%. Some point in the day.
I'm just trying to be healthy. I'm sorry I stink.
Well, I have now discovered some deodorants that are starting to work that are natural, that don't have all of the crap in them, and especially the aluminum that a lot of women try to avoid because it has some connections to breast cancer. Each and Every is a wonderful option. Great product. It goes on super smooth and it does keep you odor-free all day.
It works. It actually works. Cedar, vanilla, and cannabis and green tea. Those are my two go-tos. That really kind of represents who I am, like my personality.
It does, yeah. Actually.
It's vegan, cruelty-free, sustainably sourced.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Plant-based packaging.
And it's all about supporting healthy lifestyle, which is something that I am, I can't speak for Oliver.
I try, Kate.
I am super passionate about.
I try to be healthy, but I do, I've started being healthy with my Each and Every. Okay, so I start with the armpits and then I move out from there. That's how it weird. Works for me. we know that you will love Each and Every and we want to share it with you guys. Okay, so make sure to check out their limited edition gift sets and bundles now. And take advantage of this great offer for our listeners. It's 30% off your first purchase. 30%. Go now to eachandevery.com/sibling and use promo code sibling. Remember, to get 30% off, use promo code sibling at eachandevery.com/sibling.
By the way, Anna, I'm so jealous of your travels. Oh, God, I've been reading a little bit about your travels. That's just, I feel like it's too late.
It's a thing to do. You're very typical, baby. Like, I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to do whatever I want. I don't care what anybody says.
It's so awesome.
And
everyone's
like, oh, my God, it's so fun. You're upset. Whereas everyone else had, like, the focus on, like, making sure what they're going to do with their life and their job and their thing and the fan. It's like so typical.
Yes, here's a good story. It would be like the dead of winter. And it was like, I was going through my divorce and I was in my studio apartment and like blizzards. And my sister Allison, who lived like a couple blocks from me, would send me a picture of Anna in the Maldives in a hammock being like, life is so wonderful. And she would text me, she'd be like, good morning. And I'd be like,
so funny. And you know what I love, Todd, is that you're the older brother. What does that feel like for you? Do you feel a paternal kind of feeling more towards your sisters than sibling?
Yes, I do. It's definitely something that has obviously evolved as we've all gotten older. Like, I feel like we're obviously siblings. As we've gotten older, we've become like the best of friends. But then especially like recently, yeah, like even more of like paternal kind of like instincts kick in for sure.
Well, Todd is the ultimate dad too. He's like the best dad in the entire world to his two boys.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And just like the most caring, like Todd 100% took care of the two of us all summer, like would wake up and bring us coffees and there'd be like lattes, like warm lattes waiting when Amanda and I got up because he got up before us. Like anything
that wasn't all like,
they were like, God, please help. Like, we don't know. Yesterday, our tire pressure was low. We were like, call Todd. What does this mean? Like, we don't know what to do. Call Todd. Like, we don't know things.
It's funny too, because like during quarantine, I felt like a lot of the paternal stuff was also like definitely me taking things that were things that when we were growing up that my dad did, and they were like directly translating into our life when we were living together this summer, because it was like these two girls packages were constantly arriving at the house. Like it was insane. And there was only so many like boxes that we could fit in the recycle bin. And so like every day, like had this ritual of like chopping up cardboard boxes. And it just like harkened back to when we were little. And my dad was like, he had this like weekly ritual of like the trash compaction that he would do. And he would always come back and he'd be like, oh man, I just wish the people would do a better job of putting stuff in the trash, right? So I didn't have to do this job every week.
And so that's so funny. With the girl.
Yeah. Todd, you left first. So where did you go to college?
I went to college in Miami, Miami University of Ohio. So Southern Ohio, just north of Cincinnati.
And when you left, what was that like for all the girls?
We all sobbed. We drove home our giant family conversion van. We had this huge van. It was a bus to fit all of us. Called the Gladiator. It's a gladiator across the top.
Amazing.
And we used to fight over who goes in the captain's chairs, the two chairs. Oh, yeah. Just in the back, there was a TV in it.
We would go from that, in that van, we would drive 2 days from Ohio to Florida or Ohio to North Carolina for summer vacation every year. And like, that was one of the most, like the biggest things to fight over was who got the captain's chair for sure.
Yeah. Wow. I know I'm dealing with that right now, like shotgun and
all
the shit with my boys. I was never in the
captain's chair, by the way. I could call it, it didn't matter.
Because you were so small. I was not deserve getting a captain's chair.
Exactly. I don't deserve a captain's chair. This was my
when we pulled away and left Todd at college, it was so sad. I will never forget this. We all had like faces planted to the back window. And Todd was standing on the steps of Denison. What was it called? Denison?
Denison Hall.
And he's like waving to us in his oversized khakis. And we're like staring at him, sobbing as we drove away. My mom and dad, who never cries.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, that's one of the first times I remember seeing dad cry was that day. That like really got to me.
Oh,
and this happened. We lost family members one by one. This happened.
Yeah.
When Amanda left, when we took Amanda to college, it was just me. I cried the whole next week, and then I got a puppy out of it.
Of course, you did. Oh gosh, because then I have to say, you know, Anna, it is. And then all of a sudden, Todd goes to college, and then it's all like they're just dropping like flies. Like everyone's going to college, like 1 year, the next year. And then it's like, oh no.
And then one by one, my mom started replacing us with dogs. It's like by the time we were all gone, my mom had 3 dogs and no children at home.
That's so growing up, because there were 5 of you, were there cliques? You know, was it like, ooh, we're a little crew, we're hanging out together. There's exclusion and inclusion. Maybe that changed, you know, throughout the years, or were you?
Todd would have a sign on his door: "Do not enter." We couldn't. Todd did not want us around at all.
Yeah.
Allie and Tracy, my 2 older sisters, they were a clique for a while, and they would sometimes let me in. But I was 3 years younger than Allie. So Allie was always trying to be cool for Tracy. So they only really let me in when they needed like a minion. And so then I would be allowed in. But then they would, then if they were in a fight, then they would, one of them would take me as like their buddy. So that one would be alone.
I was never anyone's clique, except Tracy sometimes would take me on what she called best friend days. Because Tracy was always very maternal towards me. Me and Tracy are 10 years. So Tracy would take me on like, let's go on best friend days. And me and Tracy had our own little handshake and we would like do little days.
Isn't that how secret breakfast got invented?
Secret breakfast?
Yeah, Tracy took you on a best friend morning and it was a secret breakfast morning and you took photos of it. Remember? Because I still carry that tradition on with my kids.
Oh, what is it? I want to know.
It's you before you go to bed, like I'll say to one of my boys, I'll be like, dude, secret breakfast tomorrow, just you and me. And then they wake up early, they wake me up, and then we go and have secret breakfast alone. And the legend that I've told them is that Anna and Tracy invented this when Tracy was in college. She would come home and she had missed Anna. And so she's like, you and me will go to secret breakfast together.
That's a great idea. You know, I mean, I do dates. I'll take my daughter on dates. She likes going on dates, of course, because I buy her a ton of shit. That's right. So
can't take credit for that, Oliver. That's a family tradition of like, Pa used to take me on dates and I'd get to pick where I wanted to go. And then Mom would take Oliver.
No. I would take Mom.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, not that I would pay or drive because I was like 5 years old. But, you know.
Wait. So now, Amanda, you would all guys did band, but when did you start dancing?
I started dancing at the middle school that we all went to that had arts. So that was in fourth grade, I started dancing. So like 10 or 11 years old.
And then was the dedication to dance for you your own, or was it also kind of, you know, because I know for me, it was like, once I got to like 13, 14, I was like, I'm not going to dance class. My mom's like hell, you're not going to dance class. You're going to dance class, you know?
No, I fell in love with it. So I started in fourth grade, and then around sixth grade, my dance teacher was like, you know, you might be able to like do something with this. And I did like my first performance, and I remember doing my first performance, which ironically was to Elvis Presley's Jailhouse Rock. And it was a tap dance. And I remember being on stage being like, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And then I wrote an essay like in sixth grade about how I'm going to be on Broadway and be a Radio City Rockette.
Wow. Don't you love the manifestation of like how you, because I mean, I feel like I had the same thing. It's like, I just knew, I was just like, this is what I'm going to do. But how fun. Oh my God. That's so awesome.
What's the audition process for that? Yeah. How does that work?
The audition process is brutal. Crazy. It's brutal. So I auditioned a couple of times, didn't get it. The third time I went in, you know, they have these like tours. So I auditioned for the tours first. And then the third time I auditioned was for the actual Radio City, like the truth that, you know, the girls that are there. And I went to an open call. There were 1,000 girls. They had 12. It was over 2 days from 10 to 6 PM. And, this would never happen today, but when I auditioned, the last like half hour of the audition, we stood in a line and you had to step forward in your perfect bevel. And you had to just stand there and they like just walked around you, just like looking you up and down. And,
wow.
And you just had to stand there like just perfectly perfect. So, I mean, that would never happen now, but yeah, it's a 2 day process. Like I said, 1,000 girls, they needed 12. It's a lot. And it's, you know, you can't make a mistake. You have to be perfect and sharp and show that you can dance with other people and blend in. Cause it's not about being, you know, Broadway's about like having your own personality and your own flair. And they hire Anna because of she's Anna and they hire me because I'm me. Rockettes, you're hired because you can fit into a line. So it's a little bit different.
I need to get that leg right where it's supposed to be. If it's not, you're out.
So let me ask you a question though. Do you have to measure your leg? Like, do you have to know exactly where to kick? Like, how do you know? I mean, is it like right to your shoulder and then stop or, you know?
So eye high. So like where your toe has to go to your eye. So it can't go above and it can't go below. It has to go right to your eye. And the tallest girls are in the center of the line. So I was the tallest. And then the shorter girls are on the end. It gives the illusion that the line's the same, that everyone's the same height. But as long as everyone kicks to their eye, it also gives the illusion that we're all kicking at the same height.
Fun. You know what? The Rockette thing, if you love dance, it's sort of just like a, you know, it's like if you could be a Rockette, like even for a minute, it's sort of like one of those accomplishments that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I did it. So,
well, and our dad took us to New York, the whole family to New York, and saw the Christmas show and the Easter show. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I was like, I want to be a Rockette. And then my opening night, the opening number was the girls flapped out of the Christmas tree and it was to Happy Holidays. And my mom and dad and my whole family were like right there. and
wow,
coming out of the tree and like my opening.
That's awesome. Does it pay it? Does it pay anything or
it does? No, it pays really, really well. They give you scholarship money. They give you really insurance. They have PT on the top floor. You can get physical therapy every single day, which you do. You sit in ice tubs. Like, I mean, they take really good care of you.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's so nice.
Well, I know, what I'm going after this year.
Our parents too, especially dad, like dad, anytime he introduces Amanda to anyone ever, he's like, you know, Amanda was a Radio City Rockette. Like, it was like the first thing, the proud, like,
it's such a cool thing.
Still under Rockette for dad. Yeah.
Todd, how did you deal with all this, with especially with sisters and boys? And your sisters are Rockette and your friends. I mean, was ever like, hey, dude, your sister's a Rockette. Like, she's hot. I mean, did you have to deal with that guy stuff that I had to deal with my sister being like, hey, man, like Kate? And I'm like, let's not go there.
Yeah. In high school, definitely, there were some of my best guy friends who were after my oldest sister, Tracy. And they would be like, you know, I always knew it was coming because there was like some sort of like awkward sort of like, hey, so, you know, is it cool if I ask your sister to homecoming or ask your sister out on a date? So like, that happened several times. It was weird. It was even weirder when my sisters weren't into the dude and I'd have to be like the giver of the bad news.
You were that kind of, you're such a good brother. My brother would never do that.
What?
You like let down the guy easy. No, he's saying.
Nah.
Oliver, you fell short.
You didn't. No, you didn't need it. You just didn't need
Anna,
it.
Anna, you went to college and you went to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda's there, but you're 7.5 years difference. Was it like, first of all, where did you go to college?
I went to FIT. I went to the Fashion Institute of Technology. So I had decided that I wanted to go to New York because we started going to New York as kids and then kept going. And then once Amanda was there for college, we were going up all the time to see her like reviews and things she was doing. So New York just started to feel like home. And I was like, I want to go to school here too. And then it basically, as soon as I got there, we just started hanging out all the time. I have two friends from all of college because I just didn't even try to make friends on campus. I was like, I have a sister who lives uptown. Why would I need new people? So, mm-hmm.
And then the other sisters are where at this point?
There were just the two of us were there at that point, right? Allie was in DC still.
Was she?
Yeah, those early years. I don't think Allie was living
there. Yeah, Allie came later.
Yeah. We were there together alone for a couple years. I all the time would like go up to Amanda's house and sleep there and hung out all the time. And it was nice because she also was on this weird, you know, not normal 9-to-5 schedule. And that never ended. Like the whole time we were in New York together, we would always be both on this like unconventional work schedule and would just, we would always call each other and go, what doing? What are you doing? And then we'd be like, I'm doing anything. Want to hang out? Just meet up and have these weird fun days of fun.
Was everyone super supportive of each other, you know, or was there ever any sort of jealousies or you need to be doing this or I wish you were doing that? No, everyone was really supportive.
Yeah, really supportive. And we've all like lived together, like Todd and Tracy lived together. Allie and Tracy lived together. I lived with Allie for a long time.
We've also kind of lived with Biggie. I mean, me, Biggie and Amanda have now lived together.
Yeah, we've lived together now. Yeah, we all really, it's very odd. We all really get along and love each other a lot.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Kate, we got to figure this out because we never did it. We never did any of this stuff. You know, I feel like we're close, but a lot of people are closer. You know what I mean?
I feel like we're doing just fine. I feel like I have plenty of you and I don't need more.
Exactly. That's exactly my point.
Yeah, but we're totally fine. Like it's all good and...
All right.
But look, if you need more, Oliver, I want you to be happy. I'm here for you. I will...
Kat, I'm moving in.
Uh,
Olipop, Olipop, oh, Oli, 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 Olipop.
Olipop,
ba boom, boom, boom. How's Bingy Bongy liking the Olipops? Last time, remember, you tried to sneak one in on him?
They love them. Their favorite. They love the vintage cola.
Mm. Oh, yes. I'm a root beer guy all the way. And by the way, I will say this. I can drink my root beer, and not only does it have almost no sugar, the ingredients give me my prebiotics. There's plant fiber.
There's a name for this, Oliver Hudson. It's called functional ingredients.
Oh, okay. I don't know that. I'm just going off of what's in my brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's got the prebiotics, so you get the benefit of a prebiotic.
Right.
Then they've got the fiber, plant fiber, and botanicals. So it's all about your microbiome, you know?
Microbiome, the buzzword of the year.
Anyway, it does have much lower sugar than any conventional soda, so it's only 2 to 5 grams of sugar versus like a 39 grams that a Coke is or a 44 crazy. Grams of Orange Fanta. And I don't think people really understand. I mean, if you watch documentaries and you're into this kind of stuff, you know. But when you actually look at what 39 grams of sugar looks like, it terrifies you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is also good for anybody who's keto. It is keto friendly with only 8 grams of net carbs per can. So that too. It's non-GMO, which is so wonderful when you can say something is non-GMO. I feel that that should just be something that is, we should all know about our foods as if they're genetically modified.
You get 100% money back guarantee if you place your order through their website. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've worked out an exclusive deal for the Sibling Revelry podcast. Listeners receive 20% off plus free shipping on their best-selling variety pack. This is a great way to try all of their delicious flavors. Go to drinkolipop.com/sibling or use code sibling at checkout to claim this deal. That's drinkolipop.com/sibling. This discount is only valid for their variety pack. Olipop can also be found in over 3,000 stores across the country, including Whole Foods, Sprouts, Kroger, Wegmans, and Erewhon. So this episode is brought to you by Public Goods, okay? I love Public Goods.
They do high-quality everyday essentials made from clean ingredients and always at an affordable price.
Right, but it's a one-stop shop, meaning you go to this website.
Oh, yeah, they have coffee.
It's all these products
pet food,
that you can shop
for. Shampoo.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. There's and like dental floss. It's everything.
It's awesome, yeah.
The dish soap I was so obsessed with.
Usually you have to go to different various websites and pick out single product brands that you like that may or may not be sustainable, okay? Public Goods, the members, they can buy all of their premium essentials in one place.
Right.
And you know what you're getting. You don't have to go to 1,000 different places. It's ethically sourced. They develop their products to be free of all unhealthy ingredients or shitty additives. It's the one-stop shop for healthy goods, for things that you know that you're going to put into your body or on your body.
Oh, it's so great. And it's clean packaging. It looks really nice.
Yes. Yeah. And it's a member. Yes, it is a membership model. So they use this model to keep the costs low and then pass on even more savings to their customers. You can make your first purchase with no obligation to join. Here's a good thing. They plant one tree for every order placed. That's pretty fucking cool.
I just love it when I love ethical business minds. It makes me so happy.
So we've worked out an exclusive deal just for Sibling Revelry podcast listeners. Receive $15 off of your first Public Goods order with no minimum purchase. That's right. They're so confident that you'll absolutely love their products and come back again and again and again and again that they are giving you $15 off to spend on your first purchase. You have nothing to lose. So go to publicgoods.com/sibling or use code sibling at checkout. That is publicgoods.com/sibling to receive $15 off your first order.
Well, first of all, Amanda, you were married when you were younger, right? And then divorced. Mm-hmm. And then you met Nick on Bullets Over on the show.
Yeah. Started dating in the 2014 and we got married in 2017.
Anna, are you married or?
I just went through a divorce as well. I got married pretty young and went through a divorce, and that's kind of what sparked me moving to Paris in January. I kind of had to like figure out my whole life again, because it was I was living in New York with my ex-husband and I was working for him, and so I suddenly kind of was like, I have nowhere to live and no job. And so I was like, I'm going to move to Paris. Like, that was always my dream. And like, if I wouldn't have led this life that's now over, what would my life have looked like if I just went for my own dreams? So that's why I moved to France.
Anna, tell the story of your final Zoom call under the sparkling pink Eiffel Tower. That's good content.
because of obviously COVID, courts aren't open. So I would have had to go to Ohio to finalize this divorce and like in court and like sit there as the judge, like with her gavel. But it happened on Zoom and it was scheduled for October 1st. But I already had plans on October 1st to go watch the Eiffel Tower because it was pink for one night only for breast cancer awareness. And pink is like my favorite color and it's like me. And I love the Eiffel Tower. And so I was like, I'm just going to do my Zoom at the Eiffel Tower. I'm not going to miss the pink Eiffel Tower. So I was on Zoom, like getting divorced with the pink Eiffel Tower sparkling as my background.
Wow.
And the judge was loving it. The judge was like, no, bienvenue from Paris. And I was like, hi, Your Honor. And she was like, yeah. It was the funniest in the story last night. Like, after she was like, okay, like you have to state your name and where you live. And I was like, I'm Anna Klutz. I live in Paris, France. And I was like, and then we had to say like, you know, all the things and raise our hands and like the Eiffel Tower sparkling behind me. And she's like, okay, like it's final. Like we'll get the paperwork in 30 days. And she goes, go enjoy Paris, Anna. And I was like, thank you, Your Honor. And she was like, water.
I love that the judge was like living vicariously through you. Like there was a part of, was it a female judge?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. She was like, I love this. She's like, I'm getting divorced. I'm in Paris.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. So I feel like I want to be Anna when I grow up.
We all do, Oliver. We all do.
You guys have been through everything, it sounds like. Todd, you are with two children, I'm assuming. Yes.
And my sons are named Oliver and Hudson.
What?
Yeah.
Oliver.
Yeah.
Don't let it get to your head.
Wow.
Take it in and let it go. Take it in and let it go. That's it.
Nope. Let's we got another half hour on this. This is amazing. This is a beautiful day for me. Hey, Todd, thank you.
He was a huge fan of Rules of Engagement and
yes.
You know,
yes,
it was Todd's Dawson's favorite
Creek
show.
That's right. How old are the boys?
The boys are 11 and 9.
But honestly, you know, you guys, it's funny. Like we talk about this and you've been through everything. I mean, relationships, weddings, divorces, the terrible tragedy. And I wonder, have you seen your sibling bonds change through these years? Or do you feel that you've always had that, or now more than ever, that the bond is as tight?
No, Kate, I think you're so right. Like, I mean, this goes back to when we were kids and it was like, you know, if Tracy had a choir concert, we all went to support Tracy. If, you know, Todd had a piano recital, we were all there to support. If I had a show, everybody came. It was like, and there was no like, well, but my best friend asked me to go to a movie. It was like, no. And you didn't even want to go with your best friend to the movie because you were like, no, Todd has a piano recital. Like, we're all going. And I think like that was just instilled in us in like that young age. It was like this family unit. And I think it, and you know, even like what just happened. It was like, as soon as Nick got sick, Anna was in Ohio, Todd was in San Francisco. Todd's like, I'm on my way. I'm in my car. I'm driving. And Anna was like, Amanda, as soon as I can get there, I'm there. And it was just like, it's that. It's like, yeah, we have each other's backs.
Our parents taught us that, though. They were like, you are family. We take care of each other. We prioritize each other. Like, your family are the only ones who, at the end of the day, have to be your family. Like, you're never going to get rid of them. This is always your sister. And when we would fight, we had to read verses from the Bible and apologize to each other. Like, we weren't allowed to stay mad. We all, even like, we never, the concept of like going on vacation with a friend or bringing a friend on vacation did not exist in our family. Like, we were each other's friends. And I experiencing going through all these hard times together and going through all these hard things only strengthened that bond and made us realize, like, all the more, like, boy, were mom and dad right. Like, at the end of the day, your siblings will show up for you in a way that no one else will, and they'll understand you in a way no one else will. And the way we were able to just start naturally taking care of each other and anticipating each other's needs, like, Amanda would come out of the bedroom being like, I'm starving. And Todd would be like, I just whipped up lunch. And like, you can preemptively anticipate what your sibling needs because you've lived with them your whole life and you know them inside out. And that only exists with siblings. And that bond only gets stronger as you go through these hard times and you realize, like, boy, no one is there for me like my family.
Love that. Are you guys brutally honest with each other? Can you express when you are not liking something, you know, when you've been rubbed the wrong way? Is the communication between everyone pretty open, even in the bad, even with the bad stuff?
Yeah, I think yes. I think it usually starts with another sibling, though. You call, like, I'll call someone else to, like, initially complain to someone else. I'll start my complaint with Amanda with Biggie. I'll be like, Biggie, today. And he'll be like, oh, I know. And then you can usually address the person if you need to. True. But you vent first. Yeah. You, like, check what you're going to say true. With another
Biggie. Or it'll happen where then Todd will call me and be like, just so you know, Annie's mad at you because you did this. And I'll be like, I didn't mean to do that. And then he'll be like, well, just so you know, she's mad.
That's true. Another sibling will break the news to you a lot. That's
often. You have that thing where, like, people judge your choices, where, like, one will be like, why is she doing that? And I think that that she should.
Yes. I don't know. No.
Probably. I think sometimes. Yeah.
Like Todd was just, you know, texting me before we got on about how Anna's running away from her problems by going to Paris, like that kind of stuff.
You're the only person I felt would understand. Yeah.
Definitely. I think to a certain extent, yeah. Even the other night, you said, like, me and Allie and Amanda used to hang out a lot because we were all in New York together. And Amanda the other night was like, yeah, well, sometimes we'd all hang out and then you'd leave and me and Allie would be like, why did she just say that? Like, what was that about?
Yeah.
So that happened.
Anna and Amanda, you are writing a book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a memoir of everything that happened this past year with starting, you know, in March with Nick and then, you know, being rescued by Anna and Todd and then my family and then just going through that whole process of the highs and the lows and, there was a lot I shared on Instagram. There's a mountain underneath that no one knows. And so it's all of that. And and beautiful, really funny, crazy stories that will make you laugh. And then, you know, the next page you're in tears. And in writing it, when Anna's in Paris, I finished writing. I put Elvis down for bed and then I usually start writing and then I go to sleep. And as I'm going to sleep, she's waking up in Paris. So I'll text her and be like, sister, I'm done. I just finished this chapter and I'm in tears and I can't believe this happened. And then she would wake up and she's like, man, I know, you know, I was writing something the other day, but I was like laughing because I was remembering us, you know, wearing like face masks and watching Gilmore Girls. And you're just like, you know, so it's just like a mix of everything that time was.
We sent Todd the other night, now that we're together, we're reading through it all as like the final, it's due to our publisher in December. And we sent Todd chapter 10 because we read through it and we were laughing because it's just a chapter about what it's like to live together as siblings for the first time in 15 years with other people. Like it was me, Todd, and Amanda. Our spouses are not there. And we're just siblings again.
With a baby.
With a baby.
And, so it was when we recreated three men and a baby.
Three siblings and a baby.
Yeah. We were cracking up. And it's we've noticed the book too is a beautiful tribute to what it's, you know, to family and siblings and, you know, Nick's family and Nick's mom. Like, it's really just a beautiful tribute to relationships and family bond as much as it is about the story. Like, it's gonna be great. It's really a beautiful, it's beautiful in so many ways.
I look forward to reading it. And Elvis is a lucky boy to have such great aunties and uncles.
Yeah. Elvis took a liking to Todd very early on. Todd drove down when we first moved to LA in September of, 2019? Biggs?
Yeah.
You drove down and met Elvis for the first time, and Elvis just like went right to Todd. And so then when Todd came down to live with me in April, it was very cute because Elvis, you know, really, you know, he needs that male energy, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm so grateful that he has Todd just 6 hours north, because whenever Elvis sees Todd now, it's the cutest thing. Like, runs. He's like happy. It's so cute, and just goes right to Todd and Todd's boys, and it's really, really sweet. I feel very lucky to have him there and have such a great uncle. And then Anna's like another mom to him.
Man, I still remember that first time meeting Elvis, because I got there like just before lunch, and I got to do the like baby naps on you thing, which is the best
favorite.
Because it was just like, get to meet the new nephew and like get to do the baby nap, which is it's
the best feeling. Baby sleeping on you, you're just like, I feel so whole.
Oh God, it's Sunday so football with my first kid, and he would just fall asleep on me, and I'm watching football. I'm like, it doesn't get much better than this right now. Oh God. I just have a question. You know, when you were going through this sort of oscillation between hope and despair, you know, it's like there's hope and then it gets stripped from you, and then the hope comes back. I mean, how was that roller coaster, and how did you mentally deal with that?
Yes, and it was exactly that. Like every 2 minutes it would change. So the phone would ring in the house, and it was like, we had a whole thing. Anna would take Elvis outside, because Elvis would, you know, once he was taken from me, he would
start screaming.
So Elvis would go outside. Todd would set up the recorder. Like, he would grab his phone, set up the recorder, and then also like get a pen and paper, like to take notes. I would put the doctor on speaker. And so we had this whole system, and innately, you know, it was either good news or bad news. And then we would hang up the phone. And then literally like a half hour later, the phone would ring, and it would be the exact opposite news. And you would, and so it was just literally like this constant daily, like high and low. I remember, Biggie, you saying something to me one day. You were like, gosh, the high and low. It's like one day you're high, the next day you're low. Because it's like literally you can't, I honestly don't know how, and we all did it. So, I mean, like, they were all there. I mean, I think I just focused on getting through. I truly did believe, you guys, that the end would be hope. Mm-hmm. So I think that I just got there thinking, this is a roller coaster of up and downs and circles and twists and loops, but I'm going to ride in at the end. Like, you know, so I just focused on that. But
were you able to be in the hospital? Or you were?
Yeah, finally, yes, yeah.
Oh, God.
This was also another high and low, because you'd be at the hospital, and I'd drive home. So on my way home from Cedars, I'd be like crying, but then I would have to walk in the door, and Elvis would be walking towards me like with the biggest smile on his face. And so I had to immediately switch into mom mode of like, hi, okay, let's play. Because he hadn't seen me in like 4 or 6 hours. And so.
So what is this? What's the silver lining here? You know what I mean? Like, you did with this experience that has been so public, and, you know, it's just so intense, really. there's silver. I believe in silver lining sort of for everything. And that's been sort of the buzzword with this whole COVID experience, just in general. I think everyone is trying to find that silver lining. I think there are many of them. If any, what is the silver lining here for you at the end of the day?
Honestly, there were so many. And even in a horrible, tragic thing that happened to me, to us, to Nick's family, you know, the fact that we all got to live together and got to be so close. Anna, Todd, and I now have a new bond. We call it a new circle in our family. Mm-hmm. We have a new circle in our family, and it's the three of us. And we're very close. We're forever bonded now in a way that, you know, is indestructible. Elvis, the fact that Elvis got to know his auntie and uncle so well, to know my family, his grandparents so well, hit Nick's mom so well, that time together, we would never have. I mean, you guys know, as a big family, you never are all together for 90 days.
Especially as adults with lives and jobs,
like the fact that we all got to be together, Nick's mom from Canada got to come and be with us, like that will never happen again. And the fact that it did, and we got to all be so close and be together, huge silver lining. Mm-hmm. My faith, it got stronger. I mean, that's a huge silver lining, me personally.
Do you talk to him?
Do I talk to Nick?
Yeah,
I talk to Nick a lot.
Yeah.
I talk to him a lot when I'm driving. Driving's my hardest time. Driving and at night are when I like am most sad. So I talk to him at night a lot and driving around town in LA and, you know, act like he's sitting in the car next to me.
No. Have you had experiences, you know, I mean, visitation experiences, dreams, feelings, you know?
I've had one, which I talk about in the book, so I can't share it, but that's it. And I'm so mad that, you know, other people will text me and be like, I dreamt of Nick last night. And I'm like, great. I wish I did. So, yeah. Have you dreamt of Nick? No?
No, I haven't dreamt of it, but I called the girls a while back because I'm clearly still processing everything. And I remember this actually goes back to your question, Oliver, about silver linings, is that I felt like of all of the sisters, I actually unfortunately didn't know Nick as well because of, you know, the majority of their time together, Amanda and Nick were in New York. And so by the time I got to LA, he was in the hospital. But one of the biggest silver linings for me was that I got to see like the best of humanity, like consistently showing itself to my sister to help. And I feel like that not only the result of how Amanda was processing it so publicly and remaining so positive, but also a reflection of like who my brother-in-law was as a person. So for me, it's like in a way, I feel like I've gotten to know him through, like I've gotten to see aspects of his personality through the responses to him from other people, like just saying like how much he meant to him. Even when I was just with Amanda, like for my birthday, and we're sitting at dinner and she's like, I've got to show you this reel that Nick used to go on the auditions, and the guy that would film the auditions put together this reel, and he prefaced it with how he always enjoyed working with Nick, and like no matter what the circumstances were when Nick was preparing for these roles, how it was always like an enjoyable experience despite whatever the stresses may have been. And so Amanda and I were watching this reel, and so it's just like another piece of that, like of his life that I've gotten to see through the experience, and also like being able to know Nick's mom and Nick's siblings better through all this. So yeah, those are a lot of the silver linings for me.
Mm-hmm. And did you?
This year,
oh, go ahead.
Because this would have been the first year, like in 2019 when it started, and in all of 2018, there's always been at least two or three of us in the same place at once, like the siblings living in the same city. In 2019 was going to be the first year ever that everyone was in a different city. I was in Paris, Todd was in San Francisco, Allie is now in Canton, Tracy's in Houston, and Amanda was in LA. It was like, what? Like, no Klutzes are together? Like, we were all like, this has never happened. And instead, it ended up being the year where
we were all together.
We were all together in the same house for 90 days together, like more together than ever. It was a weird thing. Like, it was the year we were supposed to be apart, and instead the world was like, I don't think this is a good idea.
I feel like there's going to be so many people who are going to feel just a lot of love from this story. A very intense reminder, like, it's just, we need our family and the importance of family. And
also, you know, like, I think one thing, another silver lining, I'm big on silver linings too, Oliver, is that if you aren't close to your family, like, try to, like, this is when you need to, like, try to reach out. Like, I think it's important to cross that barrier. And if you've had a fight with somebody, just, like, pick up the phone and be like, you know what? Like, life is short. Like, what are we fighting about still? Is it still important? Can we work through this? Can we get past this? Can we, like, learn to love each other again? Is that possible? If there's, like, an inch of possibility, like, can we try to get there? I think that's, like, so important, because it's just this pandemic. What I think hopefully it has taught us is that we have to, you know, remember how important life is and be grateful for the things that we have. And if we have them, don't push them away, bring them closer.
It's so true.
Yeah. All right, let's do the speed round. This has been so awesome.
Yes.
Okay. One word to describe each sibling.
Okay. Oh my God. You go first.
For Todd, for Amanda, I would say like ambitious. Amanda is ambitious, go getter. Todd, I think OCD comes to mind. I'm sorry.
I'll say Todd, helpful. Anna, fun.
I like fun.
I like Todd.
Yeah, I would say Anna, hilarious. Amanda, gregarious.
Ooh, that was
a lot of Ariuses.
Music on repeat you listened to as a kid. This will actually probably be different because you guys are different in ages.
Yeah, what was that album that just stayed on repeat?
Spice World.
Yes. Oh
yes. Yeah, I still know all the lyrics to every song.
I think I was New Amazing. Kids on the Block.
Okay.
Yeah, that's me and Amanda.
Yeah.
For me, it was probably like Huey Lewis, the News, his album 4.
Wow. That is very specific. Oh, wow. That's not, you said that like a question mark, but it was very, I mean, the reality is you knew exactly what it was.
who's the most competitive?
Oh. Most competitive. I'm going to say it's Amanda.
Oh, it has to be here. In our sibling circle, I think Allie. Allie's like if you're playing a game, Allie wants to win.
Oh, yeah. True.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No. Tracy is super competitive, too. Think of all those contests Tracy won. Super Bowl contest, that contest at work where she, Tracy is a good competitor.
Maybe.
Who is the rule breaker?
Anna.
I'm gonna say, I think that we've.
I could have guessed that.
Anna's number one quote is, that's not real. That's not a rule. Like, I'll be like, Anna, I'm pregnant. I can't, I don't
have sushi. And I'm like, that's not real.
Yes, that's not Japan. Real. You can have sushi. And I'm like, you don't know. You've never been pregnant.
Who's the comedian in the house?
Anna.
Oh,
Yeah, or Allison, though.
Allison, yeah. I would say Allie and Anna are a lot of the genesis, a lot of the comedy comes from those two. Like, yeah.
Biggie, you're funny
I might start a lot of the comedy. If I need a comedy pickup, I'm calling Biggie. I'm calling Todd.
Really? I feel like I'm only funny if I'm really frustrated or if I'm reacting to something that you guys are doing and you think my reaction is funny.
Biggie, you're always frustrated. That's why you're always
Okay, who's the brainiac?
Amanda, I think, didn't she have the best GPA?
No,
4.126. I was 10 in the class. You 10 out of 400.
I had 600 in my class.
4.126.
Yes.
I was above a
4.0, Kate.
I was also above a 4.0, and I had higher ACT scores. I had the highest scores in the family.
Those tests aren't real.
Well, we should revisit that. Who's the most competitive question?
What about first celebrity crush?
The guy from Sugar Ray. He was on my planner.
Oh, Mark McGrath?
Oh, my God. Mark McGrath.
Zac Efron, High School Musical.
Zac Efron.
High School Musical, Zac Efron. Yeah.
Okay.
What was yours, Biggs?
Oh, for sure, Carrie Fisher.
Oh, of course.
From Star Wars?
Princess Leia and the gold bikini from Return of the Jedi. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Very good.
Who's the most laid back?
Anna.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Who do you go to for relationship advice?
Ooh, that is complicated. They all go to me once it's in a crisis mode. The sisters, like my sense in any way, is that before it hits crisis, they'll be talking amongst themselves. And then I get a call. I'm like the red phone, pick it up. And it's like, people are in tears.
I call someone different depending on what the relationship thing I'm seeking advice is on.
Yeah.
Or like how scandalous it is.
So you've got a lot of scandal.
Top scandal level would be Amanda, and it would go down from there to Tracy at the bottom.
Tracy is no scandal. Tracy, you can't talk to Tracy. If there's a scandal, you never call Tracy.
No.
Our devout Catholic.
first concert.
Spice Girls.
Amy Grant.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Like 1985. Amy Grant. I think.
That's awesome, Amy Grant. That's amazing.
Was that in Kansas? No,
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Are you guys drinkers? Okay, what are we drinking? What do we like?
Tequila or vodka? Wine.
Oh, Negroni is my favorite with gin or mezcal. Wine.
Oh, I love a Negroni.
Wine. I live in France now. I drink wine with lunch.
Of course. and what's it called? The pastis.
Oh yeah.
Oh, pastis. Wait. Je t'aime pastis.
When I ordered pastis, you guys, I thought that it was like a not very alcoholic option. Later learned it's like 47% alcohol. And I was
like ouzo. I once got
Wait, you guys, what is pastis?
I was like 21, 2.
Pastis.
And it was
pastis is like a licorice based drink. It's supposed to be like an aperitif.
Oh, oui. Okay.
Mais j'ai besoin tout le monde.
I don't know why you just across that.
I take my pastis with a little bit of almond syrup and water, and then it doesn't taste like licorice anymore because I hate licorice. But I'm just desperate to do anything the French do, so I fit in. So I'm like, Papa, wait.
It's like a marzipan drink. It's like a marzipan and fennel. Okay, guys, last question we ask everybody is, it's a two-part question. The first part is, if you could emulate something of your sibling
a characteristic, what would that be? And the other part of the question is if you could alleviate something from them that would actually you feel would make their life more fulfilling, what would that be?
I know my alleviate for Todd would be stress.
Stress. Get rid of Biggie's stress.
I want all stress removed from Biggie's life. I want him to live stress free and just frolic in the fields of San Fran.
Yeah, I want to put Biggie in a hammock in the Maldives and have him enjoy it instead of being like, I hate this hammock in the sun. Yes, but I would love to emulate Biggie's level of thinking of other people and like just in a constant state of like, what can I do to make this person's little day or moment more special and like better for them? That's very Todd.
I would like to take Todd's, I hope to be a great parent. I don't know if I'm using the right words. I want to be a great parent like my brother.
You are a great parent. What are you doing?
I know, but my baby's only 18 months and you know, you've been a great parent for 11 years. So I want to be a great parent.
So I would want to take Amanda's positivity because I'm a super negative person. I would want to take Anna's, I think, like comedic, like filter that she has like on her like worldly outlook. Like she's always telling me these hilarious stories of like, she told me this one about how she was in this market in Paris and there was like this person walking away with this whole like basket of leeks. And she's like, my head immediately went to like, what is this man going to do with all those leeks? Follow the leeks. And I was like, the fact that you have these thoughts, I'm just constantly like,
I do like there could be through a weird lens.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
I agree. I'll take your weird lens and I will alleviate your ADHD.
No, such bad ADHD, the worst.
Yeah, I would take your ADHD away from you.
I'm trying to get help.
Yes, I would make you stay focused on an issue.
I know. Yeah. Think of all the things I could get.
I like that.
Anna, now.
Amanda, I would love to alleviate Amanda's destructive qualities of in the home. Like Amanda is the messiest person I've ever met. I wish I could just give her some organization help that she could stick to. It's a disaster. And when you're living with her, you're just
Like the kitchen, is it like the kitchen, the clothes, everything
is a disaster. Todd and I send each other secret videos of destruction and exchange. Like, look what I woke up to today. We were doing it throughout quarantine the whole time. I was sending videos to like horror theme movies and sending them to Todd. I wish I could help you with that because it would improve your life big time. And I wish if I could take something from Mandy, Amanda's work ethic is the most insane thing I've ever witnessed. She never stops. She goes all day long, no matter what job she has, no matter how many jobs she has, she just will continue to work for herself and now her son. Like I've never seen anyone do. And that is not me at all. I'm like, let's take a 3-hour lunch with wine. So that would be a great thing to be able to steal from you because you work hard.
I love it. Great. You guys, thank you for doing this. But before we go, I do want to ask, are you still going to do workouts?
Yes. Yeah. I'm still going to, because right now, you know, luckily with quarantine, I just started a subscription series. I'm turning that now into an app. So that will just be something I'll just fit into my schedule at some point. And then I teach these live classes on Saturdays. So luckily I'm able to still keep it going. I mean, it's, you know, I built that business from the ground up. It's like my baby and it's what I started for myself after my divorce. It's such a part of me that I definitely, and I love teaching. So I don't want to stop that, you know?
Good for you.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, you guys, I love you.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
This was really fun.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, back at you.
You guys
very, you're inspiring. You know, I love your love. It's awesome. It's really, really awesome. Wish Katie and I could have even half of what you guys have.
Thank you.
We're getting there.
All right, guys. Well, happy holidays.
Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson.
Producer is Allison Bresnik. Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.
You looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu that you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are streaming on Hulu. Then you can move on to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking. The only thing better than getting delivery from Target is getting unlimited same-day delivery from Target. While you're on vacation, okay? Sign up for the new Target Circle 360 so you can stock up on food, supplies, pool stuff, and everything in between without ever interrupting your summer plans. Also, summer hosting is so much easier when you have unlimited same-day delivery from Target. Take care of your guests. Target takes care of the rest. Sign up for the new Target Circle 360 today. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.